The Grapevine with Aidan Crowley, with thanks to Brafey House Resort Castlebar, the complete wedding specialists at brafeyhouseresort.ie.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Stephen Manning from an organisation called Integrity Ireland. Now, I've read a little bit, Stephen, about the aims of the organisation, and one of the important things is to encourage openness, transparency and justice in Irish state institutions. And it's interesting that earlier on we spoke on the phone to Senator Lorraine Higgins from Labour, who is pushing for legislation to bring about exactly what you're looking for here, transparency, openness in NAMA. But you're looking at a broader situation here, and you mentioned in particular the legal profession, the courts, the police, and where did this come from? Where did the idea originate?
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, Stephen. Well, Integrity Ireland came out of the collective experiences of a number of what you might call ordinary citizens who had experiences with the various statutory oversight bodies, the police, the courts, the Garda Ombudsman and the like, and were very disappointed, to put it mildly, in the outcomes. And we came together almost by accident, perhaps the middle of last year. And after a few ad hoc meetings, several people surfaced, and we put together this idea. And then I went ahead and sort of set up the website and things like that.
In terms of what you do, is it a system whereby people support you by, I suppose, attending meetings, or is there a financial side to it? Do you need support in a financial sense?
Oh, it would be great to have some financial support, but I think it's important, especially at the early stages, that there's no question about our integrity or about our motives for doing this. And at the moment, it's completely self-supported. We ask members to help each other any way they can, and we don't have any direct funding other than that which members can afford to handle their own cases, for example. So there's no collective fund or anything like that at the moment, but it is set up as an official organisation, and it's been registered in the companies, with the Companies Acts or whatever.
Now, your website is www.integrityireland.ie. So if people go on there, they can find out what you do, how you can help them.
Yes, we've designed this website as the front end, if you like, of the Integrity Ireland movement, and it's got one or two different features and purposes, this website. First of all, it is an advertisement, if you like, for the group, and to encourage people to come on board, not to be passive when things are happening in their lives that are clearly wrong, and especially when it's highly paid authority figures who are not carrying out their functions and their jobs the way that they're paid to do, and in many cases, in fact, are doing completely the opposite, that we're trying to get these people to come together to offer direct support to each other. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that in a minute. It's a little bit radical in a couple of ways, but it seems to me that when the oversight bodies fail us, either we just throw our arms up in disgust and say, "Asher, what can you do?" Or we do something like this. We come together, and we to do so in a dignified way. We're not going after individual people. What we're saying is there's a culture of corruption and cronyism, unfortunately, and especially at the higher levels, starting with the Gardaí, the Garda Ombudsman, the legal profession, and the courts. It seems to be routine across the board, and there's a great deal of injustice being visited on individual citizens, and they really have no recourse other than being advised, if you've got a problem with the guard, go to the Garda Ombudsman. And then we go to the Garda Ombudsman, and again, I say, I have to make generalisations here, but the general consensus amongst the membership is that the Garda Ombudsman is not either not capable of doing what it says on the tin, so to speak, or is not willing to do it.
And where do you come in if somebody goes to the Garda Ombudsman Commission and not happy with what happens? What can you do at that stage?
Well, we are encouraging our members to engage tactics. For example, if you write to an individual and three times in sequence you're either lied to, there's misrepresentations, they're not forthcoming, they don't answer the questions, or you're driven in circles, which is often the case, you cut them off. And you put it in writing. You say to them, "I will not continue to deal with you if you do not follow your own code of ethics, your own code of conduct." Now, by doing that, and literally, you have to be brave enough and firm enough to insist, you do not correspond further with that person. And on those grounds, any citizen, surely, has the right to go in front of a court of law and say, "Well, look, what is the point of dealing with this person at the entry level when they are just giving us the eternal runaround. I'm entitled, according to your own code of ethics and code of conduct, I'm entitled to be treated fairly as a citizen of this country. And when they don't do so, it's a legitimate right for us to say, right, I don't deal with you anymore. Now, most people are somewhat intimidated by authority figures, as was I. But I must say at the beginning, you know, but as we confront them at various different levels, all, and I mean literally all the way to the top, you realise that we have to have the courage of our convictions. And there are some direct ways that we can help each other secure justice in our individual cases, while at the same time building a collective, a sort of a union, if you like, or a citizens-driven oversight body, is what I'd say.
Have you any examples, Stephen, of cases that you've taken on and maybe succeeded with or maybe didn't succeed with?
Yes. Well, we have a few. Now, we're still quite early in our development, in the sense that, you know, all the time the database is growing. But, for example, one of the things we advise people to do is never, ever go into a Garda interview. Never ever go into a court of law. Never ever go to a solicitor's appointment on your own. Bring at least one other member with you, preferably two, preferably three. We have designed some forms, report forms, and we ask people to note who's present, what's said. For example, in our courts, we're not allowed to record in the courts. Now, this is completely different to America, for example, England, or most developed countries. In America, as we all know, there are cameras in the courts. You know, the same thing is happening in England. Even in Northern Ireland, you can walk in and get a transcript of a recording for, I think it's £35. Here, there are all sorts of blocks and obstructions put in the way, and it's almost an impossible task.
And are you in a position to accompany somebody if they ask you to go along to an interview in one of those situations you mentioned?
Yes, this is in fact what we do. As a matter of fact, just this past week, I'll give you two examples. The last week, there was a case in the circuit court, and again, for the sake of not causing anybody undue embarrassment or anything, I'll just refer to it in general terms. And there was a second case in the High Court. Now, the first case in the circuit court, we encouraged four or five members to be in attendance so that whatever was said and done in the court, later on we had witnesses to say, yes, this was said and done. Because again, our experience has been that court orders get amended after the fact. They do not reflect, and we even have it in writing from some court officials, court orders do not have to reflect what the judge said. Now, this is sort of ludicrous. It's a form of making it up as you go along, if you like. And as a lay litigant, most people just throw their hands up in the air and they say, well, how am I supposed to deal with this? Especially if they can't afford a solicitor or a barrister. And unfortunately, again, many barristers and solicitors are completely in thrall to the courts and won't speak up because, of course, you know, their futures, their careers are on the line. And in this manner, you know, we're lacking an active, just voice in the courts.
But you had an example.
Oh, yes, I was going to say. Sorry, Stephen. Yes, one of the examples, for example, and I'll just say, a court official, a senior court official, let's put it that way, you know, made some statements in open court that were incorrect and misleading. We were prepared in advance. We had the legislation already printed out in advance. And when we started reading out the legislation, this court official actually exited the courtroom rather than listen to it, and the Gardaí were called. Now, this is completely unconstitutional. There was no reason given for the Gardaí being called. And after we broke for lunch, as it turned out, the Gardaí came in as we were leaving, and there was no, you know, there was no confrontation of any sort. But we went to them afterwards and asked, why were you called? And they wouldn't tell us. All they said was, yes, they confirmed that this court official had called them. So we wrote back into them and we said, well, there are allegations made in the courtroom by this court official, which would constitute slander if it was outside the court. But there's this thing called privilege where they're not held accountable. And we asked the Gardaí to investigate these allegations, which were against the member concerned. And again, there was a lot of, you know, evasiveness. And so that was one example. But what will happen now is we wrote in to that court official and told him, your behaviour was inappropriate, you broke your own code of conduct, you broke the rules and regulations, and if it happens again, these five witnesses that were in there will stand up and ask you to recuse yourself. Now, we did the same, believe it or not, with the High Court judge. Well, actually, it's happened on two or three occasions, where in some cases, now, the judges are very fair, we have to say that. Unfortunately, as most people are probably aware by now, five out of six out of our judges, when they are appointed, are actually members of the current ruling political party, and they just let go of their membership in order to take up the post. And you know, there are examples even after the recent election that running mates of prominent politicians suddenly found themselves as judges and so on and so forth. Of course, if they're decent, honourable, people who are doing their jobs correctly, we'd have no problem with it. But the question has to be raised, how independent really are they? And how independent are they, especially when you take a case against the government or against the state?
Just clarify something for us, Stephen, that you mentioned there in relation to the courts. We don't have cameras in court.
No.
Are you saying you can't physically record what's being said with a tape recorder or the modern equivalent? Is that the situation?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Now, they have this. They have recorders running in most courts, but I've actually been challenged once because I did have a recorder on me, and I was challenged, and I was told in no uncertain terms, "Are you recording this?" And I said, "No, here it is," and I put it on the desk. But no, it's been made very clear to several members that recording the proceedings in a court is a no-no. Now, again, this is highly questionable because my argument would be, well, surely, Judge, this is going to help everybody, because if there's any discussion later about what was and wasn't said, it'll be clarified. But again, you know, this is one of the problems we're facing, this lack of accountability, lack of transparency, you know.
Just to get clarification again, if somebody wants you, what they do is they contact you through the website?
Preferably, because people's stories are often very painful and it's very important to them to share it. And we would end up literally spending all day on the phone, almost like counsellors, listening to people. Mm. There's a time and place for that, and that's at meetings. People are given a slot, a seven-minute slot, to share their story with others, you know. And but the website is the way we do it, ask people to.
You don't have a cost, but a contribution would be appreciated.
Well, to this point now, we have not made any mention of monies so far whatsoever. And all the direct costs have been covered by myself. Over a period of time, they're mounting up, of course, but, you know, we have badges and stickers and business cards, the cost of hosting the website. Maybe in time we'll have to levy a small charge when we can produce, for instance, a lay litigant's guide to help people in courts. But until that time, I don't want anybody to be put off or to misunderstand that there's any financial motive behind this. There isn't. If it becomes necessary to ask members to contribute something to keep the thing going, when that day comes, we'll deal with that.
Okay, thank you, Stephen Manning from Integrity Ireland. And again, just to repeat, www.integrityireland.ie is that website. You're listening to CRCFM. The programme is The Grapevine. And with the time coming up to a quarter to six, it's over to Mike Kelly for the latest news, sport and weather in 45 Live.
CRCFM.